What is going on? This is Drew Weber tossing out another episode for the Blind Cool Tech Podcast. Hope all of you are doing well. Man, this year is flying by, which is crazy. But that's really beyond the point of this cast, obviously. Now, what I want to talk to you about is Master Drive. I'm a student at the Colorado Center for the Blind in the Independent Trading Program. And I tell you what, I've been here for about 2.5 months. And that's another podcast in itself because it's an awesome program. I encourage you guys to check out cocenter.org and just find out all about it. Because honestly, it's freaking awesome. Life independence as a blind person. Very cool. Anyway, moving on. We at the Colorado Center for the Blind in the Independent Training Program went to Master Drive, located over there in Denver, Colorado. And I tell you what, it was pretty awesome. Now, Master Drive is a program that normally trains 15-year-olds that have permits how to drive cars so they're safe. And the cool thing about Master Drive yesterday, and they've done this before as well, but they allowed us from the CCB to come in as blind people. They gave us training and they allowed us to drive cars through obstacle courses on skid pads, recovering from skids. And, you know, it was just very, very cool stuff. So I tell you what, I'm going to now talk a little bit about the recording equipment that I used to record this stuff. And then I'll go into a little bit of detail about Master Drive a little bit more and we'll get on with it. So my field recorder of choice is a Zoom H2 Handy Recorder. And I use that in combination with the Sound Professionals in-ear binaural microphones, which really honestly pick up true-to-life sound. And it sounds like you're right there. If you have headphones on, it's just pretty sweet. So in order, the first thing you're going to hear on this episode, you know, other than me talking, is people from the Master Drive giving descriptions of cars, giving descriptions of how to drive, talking about their program a little bit, and after that, we're going to go into the actual driving itself. And I tell you what, you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. Not so techie, but on the flip side, just a great episode. Enjoy it.
We'll be spending a little bit of time in the classroom here talking about the process of driving and some of the things that you'll want to learn. Then we'll get out there and get in the cars on the range, and we'll be doing a couple of different exercises out there. We'll have a coach in the car with you the entire time. What we're going to do is have you guys in the driver's seat driving the car and two people in the back seat riding, and you will rotate through the positions on the exercises. So as the coaches go through this process, they'll explain each individual exercise with you. They'll drive you through, they'll give you guidance and some instruction, but they're only going to give you as much guidance and instruction as you absolutely need individually. So you really have the experience driving the car.
Yes.
On the slalom course, it's just a serpentine course, if you can imagine driving in and out of a line of cones. That's the slalom course, and we're going to use that to introduce steering. We're going to use that to introduce the dynamic feel of the car, the kinesthetic connection of the car, which in the past we've discovered you guys to be amazingly good at. That is our foundational exercise that we're going to use to get the morning started. Then we're going to move over to the skid pad. And we're going to put you on the skid pad, which is a special surface that is designed so that we can get the car to skid and slide at very low speed. And the coaches will actually induce a skid in the car after instructing you how to recover from it. And then after we mess everything up, we're going to let go. And it's going to be your responsibility to recover from the skid and get the car through the gates at the end of the range. Amazingly fun, amazingly good exercise to do, and you guys will do great at it. We have a question in the back. Go ahead.
I want to know, can we do some willies?
Yeah, we're gonna
got a ramp, you know.
Get a ramp, yeah.
Tear them off, you know.
So different. We will do some fun stuff in the car. As we go through, as we've done this several years back, I got a call from Julie. And she said, well, would you guys consider this? And we said, well, of course we'll consider that. And we came out and toured your facility, and I was just sharing with her, it was a very impactful day for me to come out to your facility and find out you guys do really an awesome place, really a pretty fantastic place. So in doing that, we talked with some of the people that were at the center at the time. And I really asked the question, well, what do you want to learn? And what I got really, really made an impact upon me. that what they said was they wanted to learn how to drive. That the people that had not been able to drive as a teenager, literally, when it got to that point, when other people were talking about driving, they wouldn't talk about driving around you guys. So literally, they had never been taught anything about driving. So we asked them, well, how much detail do you want to get? They said, as much as you'll give us. So, okay, I got that. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to give you as much detail as we can in the short time that we have about this learning to drive process and about what we do in teaching teenagers how to drive. So we're going to start with that. So let me give you a little bit of background about MasterDrive and what we do. MasterDrive was founded a little over 22 years ago by a gentleman named Ron Langford. He was a real estate developer. More importantly than that, he was a nationally ranked sports car racer. He raced Porsche factory stuff and endurance races. Placed second in the Porsche Cup. He was really an accomplished racing driver. In the last day of August in 1986, his youngest 19-year-old daughter was killed by a 19-year-old drunk driver. So he decided to resign from his real estate development company and founded MasterDrive to be able to go out there and make a difference about this learning to drive process. Really training people, hey, this is what we need to be doing. This is how we need to be teaching people how to drive. Well, we found out that it works really well. We'll train about 5,000 kids in the state of Colorado this year to how to drive, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
Probably the most memorable people that we'll train how to drive this year are sitting in the room with me right now. Because this experience for us in the past, both in Denver and in Colorado Springs, has been amazing. The impact that it has had on me has been incredible. And the impact that it has on our coaches is incredible. And the coaches that you guys get to ride with today were hand-picked amongst our entire staff. Not just because they're great coaches, but because we wanted to give back to them and to give them the honor and the experience of getting to work with you guys. So we really appreciate coming out to do this. It means as much to us as it probably does to you. In the process of teaching all these folks how to drive, Ron really developed something called the performance model. And I want to go through that with you really quickly. I could spend about 6 hours on this topic alone, but we'll do it very, very quickly. How many of you, I want you to just think, when you've done something in your life and you've done it really, really well, sports activity, something, doesn't matter what it is. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Does everybody have something that you've done really, really well? And then you did it again and you did it not so really well. What changed between those two times probably was not your skill level. It's interesting, if we take an athlete and they perform poorly, the day after that bad game, we put them in the practice arena, whatever that is, and have them practice skills. Well, it probably wasn't their skill that was the problem in the first place. It was probably something else. So that's what we're going to talk about right now, is personal performance, how a human being performs. So let's think about this analogous to a computer, okay? So we're going to say that we operate a lot like a computer. I tried to tell my computer that it actually operates a lot like us. We were here first. I'm the master in this situation, but it doesn't listen. So how's a computer operate? Information goes in, and it gets processed, and you get some kind of an output, right? Everybody follow along with that. So the information going in relative to driving is going into your computer, and I'm going to say that your computer is your brain. It's just like a computer. It's biological. It's live. So it's a biocomputer. So information goes into your biocomputer. It gets processed. All of it, good, bad, or indifferent, it all gets processed. How it gets processed is according to our experience and our knowledge, and that's really our software. Does everybody get that? Mm-hmm. Really cool. When I went to visit, Somebody slid a sheet of Braille to me. Could I feel it? Yeah, I could feel it. Did it mean anything to me?
No.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Tell me that too.
Didn't get it. Now, do you understand the information was coming into my biocomputer and I was processing it? I just didn't have any software to process it with. Can we follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Could I develop better sensory acuity in my fingers to be able to feel it with practice? Yes. I was able to observe some of your colleagues eating Braille, and it was incredible to me. The sensitivity, the processing, just absolutely incredible. That's what we want to teach you today about driving your car, is to get that sensitivity, that processing. And the only way to do it is through experience. Could I learn to read Braille with a lecture? Not going to happen, right? You're not going to learn to drive with a lecture either. So we got to put you in the car. So if we're going to give you guys this experience, we've got to put you in the car. And that's what we're going to do. So as far as input into the biocomputer, I want you to think about that sensitivity, that connection. And we're going to use every one of the senses that we have available to us. Amazingly, almost the most important sense relative to driving is kinesthetic input. Kinesthetic input to everything. It's the balance, the vestibular system, the proprioceptive system of the body. That is what separates the great drivers. The great racing drivers, what really separates them from everybody else is their ability to process kinesthetic information. Everybody's seeing the same thing on the racetrack. Everybody could be feeling the same thing, but they're not processing it. Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the skid pad this afternoon, later this morning, what's going to make the difference for you is your ability to process kinesthetic information. That feel of the car, the movement of the car, that connection with the car, that is key. And that is key for everybody else. That's key for the 15-year-olds that we usually teach. That's key for the corporate drivers that we teach. That's key for the law enforcement people that we teach. That's key for the racing drivers that we coach. That is key. I think we could drive without visual cues if we'd simply build in some kinesthetic cues into the system, right? Something else. But we have to rely on the other senses in order to do that. The other sense that I want to really encourage everybody in the input side of the computer is hearing. We'll keep the windows open so that you can hear what's going on with the car. The tires will tell you. The tires will tell you what kind of road it is. The tires will tell you whether the road's clean or dirty. The tires will tell you whether you've got sand. The tires will tell you the condition of the tires. The tires will tell you if you listen to them. So listen to them. Listen very, very, very closely. So let's think about this whole computer process. If I improve the quality of the input information into my computer, won't I increase the quality of the output too?
Mm-hmm.
I just heard somebody over here saying that she hadn't, I think she was talking about coffee, and she hadn't drank coffee yet, and she thinks she's going to get through her PhD without having to drink coffee. I submit to you that if she were to sit down to write a computer and write a paper in front of the computer, the quality of her input would probably be higher than the quality of mine. So the output would probably be higher. Does everybody kind of process that? Oftentimes when I write something on the computer, I'll say, well, I didn't like the quality of the output. It must be the computer's fault. Right? Garbage in, garbage out. Somebody just said it. So we're going to work on today is increasing the quality of the input information that you can get while driving the car. Same thing that we teach with everybody. If we can increase that, we'll increase the quality of your driving, period. We'll also work on the quality of the processing inside the computer. Now, inside the computer, we have to work on the software that processes everything, right? So we do that through experiences. We're going to do that on the exercises that we have. We're going to do that with some steering technique that we're going to do. We're going to do that with different things out in the car so that you actually experience that, because that's the best way to program software. Wouldn't it be great if we had a slot that we could just insert a disk into our brain and we could download some software?
Yes.
Not really.
I'd have the PhD by now. We'd be good.
What if our spot crashes?
Okay, that would be bad. We're going to try to not have any computer crashes. As we go through this process, guys, there's some things in that software that impact your driving. So there's really four main areas. There's psychomotor skill. We have to learn how to do it. Okay, if I have never been rock climbing before, and I don't know how to tie the knots, and I don't know how to do rappelling, and I don't know how to do that stuff, I have to learn how to do that. That's necessary, right? Is state of mind also going to have an impact there? Oh, absolutely. I could know how to do it and be fearful about it and not be able to access what I know. So if you understand that? I could be overconfident about it. We don't think there's such things as overconfident. We think there's false confidence. Right? So we don't want to have false confidence today. We will build confidence through experience and get that to be at an appropriate level. We also believe that your belief system has something to do in that. Do you believe you can do this? I think that's one of the biggest impacts that you guys have on us. You impact our belief system about what's possible. And that, for that, we owe you a great debt of gratitude because you're going to show us what's possible today. That's cool. That's really, really awesome. So those are the things that we're going to work on. Personality traits has an impact there too. If I have a really, really assertive, aggressive personality, how do you think I'm going to drive?
Aggressive.
And I'm going to be one of the most popular guys on the freeway. Right? Everybody's going to be waving at me. Saluting you.
What if I have a really timid and fearful person?
Going to get into an accident.
Yeah. Is that going to work well for me? It's not going to work well for me either. Does everybody kind of get that? That's one of the biggest things that we have to work on with new drivers, is they tend to go to one end of that scale or the other, and we have to work on getting them down into the middle. If they're a little timid and fearful, we have to build some confidence and get them to not do that in traffic. And if they're way assertive and over aggressive, we need to get that mellowed out a little bit so they're not doing that in traffic. So literally, there's times when that's all necessary. You can think about racing. What if we had a really, really aggressive race driver? When would they try to win the race? First lap.
Yeah.
Is the race ever won in the first lap?
No.
If they're too timid and patient, when do they try to win the race?
Yeah.
On the cool down lap. After the checkered flag, which isn't going to work either.
No.
So if you kind of understand that. So there's a place and time for both ends. So we're really going to work on trying to figure out what that is. Does everybody kind of understand what I mean by performance now?
Mm-hmm.
So our objective today is to turn you guys into high performance drivers.
You know that for the driver.
To do that, we're going to introduce you to some concepts relative to how a car operates. So let's just work that through really quickly from the beginning. Let's talk a little bit about energy. When I go to the gas station and I spend all that money, what am I really buying? Energy. And it's in the form of chemical energy. I put it into my car, it gets processed, mixed with air, compressed. Okay, when I compress things, they get hotter, right? So it's already heating up, then I light it with the spark plug and it burns. I don't want an explosion in my car, I want to burn. Because when it burns, things get hotter, they do what? They expand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as they expand, if I have that in an enclosed container with only one moving part, that part's going to move. So the part's the piston, which pushes down on the crankshaft, which turns just like a bicycle crank. If you can imagine your legs on a bicycle wheel, on a bicycle, that you're pumping down on a bicycle, your knee would be the piston going up and down. And your foot would be on the crankshaft going round and round. So I'm taking linear motion up and down with the piston and turning it into a rotating motion on the crank or the pedal of the bicycle. Does everybody kind of follow that?
Mm-hmm.
The key here is that mixture of fuel and air. It has to be just right.
If it's too rich, it won't burn. If it's too lean, it won't burn. So it has to be just exactly right, which is where the beauty of a fuel-injected engine comes in, because it's a really precise mixture. And the computer, go back to the computer, controls that. So actually, in a fuel-injected car, when you push on the gas pedal, you're actually just asking the computer for more power. And the computer can say yes, or the computer can say no. Really kind of cool. The new traction control systems, what they really do is change the computer program. Give it some inputs, and it says no. The wheels spun a little bit, so we must be slippery outside, so we're not going to give you as much power. It's really that straightforward. There's a question in the back here. Go ahead.
Isn't there a thing called cruise control?
Yes. So let's talk about cruise control. Cruise control is exactly the same thing. It's the computer system or the control systems of the car that get input from the speedometer that says, okay, we're doing whatever, 55 miles an hour. And if it drops below that, it tells the computer, we're dropping below that, let's give it a little more gas. So it automates a lot of the process. It's kind of cool. Should never use that in slick conditions, by the way.
Okay.
If you're ever with somebody that is, ask them to turn it off.
Okay.
It's a bad idea.
My parents.
Because then we just go 55 miles an hour into the skid.
Which is not cool.
Which is not cool. Okay, so getting the power out of the car, as you push on the gas pedal in a modern car, you're really just asking the computer, geez, can I have a little more power here? Which for those of us that have high controlling personalities really makes me mad. Because when I want more power, by golly, I want more power. So the other thing that we want to think about there is we took all this chemical energy, we turned it into thermal energy by burning it, which expanded the gases and converted that into kinetic energy. Cool. Kinetic energy is what we're after. We want to be moving. Okay, kinetic energy is synonymous with momentum or movement. Right? Now that we have all this kinetic energy, we're trucking up down the road, going along whatever speed we are. In order to stop the car, I have to get rid of all that energy. Does everybody kind of follow that? The car will not stop when it has all that kinetic energy. I can't get rid of energy, so I have to convert it into a different form. So what I do is I put on the brakes. Now, all the brakes do is convert energy. That's all they do. They don't stop the car. The car stops because it ran out of kinetic energy. So everybody put your hands together and rub them together like this. Quickly. Hard. 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 Okay, stop. Because you had friction there, what you just created by the motion of your hand, kinetic energy, you've applied friction, and you turn that kinetic energy into what kind of energy?
Heat.
Thermal energy. Did everybody get that? Turned it into thermal energy. So all your brakes are designed to do is get hot. That's what they do. They convert kinetic energy into thermal energy. When you convert all the kinetic energy into thermal energy, the car stops. Did everybody follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So we've probably all heard about pumping the brakes.
Yep.
So I want you to listen to pumping. Here's what braking is, right? Mm-hmm. Listen. Here's pumping. Which one do you think is making more energy? More heat energy faster? Keeping it on or pumping it?
Keeping it on.
Keeping it on. Does everybody feel that? Everybody do it. Like this. Hey, stop. Can you get your hand as hot doing that as if you just do this? Do you understand the problem with pumping the brakes? It's physics. I'm spending a lot of my time not converting kinetic energy into thermal energy. It's not going to stop me very quickly. So, if I were to step out in front of you when you're driving, I would prefer that you did not pump the brakes. I would prefer that you kept them on. So let's talk about this new car system called anti-lock braking systems, or ABS, because you'll feel it in here. It's big, right? If you've ever felt it or heard it, it's making noise, it's making the car jump around, it's vibrating, it's doing all sorts of strange things. What it is doing, when we pump the brakes on all four wheels. There's a brake on each wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think back, think about a bicycle wheel. I wish I had one here to show you how the caliper grips the rim of the wheel. Now that's amazing to me. I rode down Pikes Peak with a friend of mine once on a bicycle. These little tiny rubber pads, and I weigh about 240 pounds. And it's a really steep mountain with a big cliff. So I wasn't really convinced these little rubber pads were going to do the job. Can you visualize this? This is not a good scenario for me. And he was playing with me, so he made it worse. So you can imagine when that thing grips on that it makes this heat. Makes it slow down, makes heat. Your brakes do the same thing by gripping onto a metal plate or into a drum, doesn't matter. That's what they do. So here's what we're going to do out there with ABS. If the ABS comes on, we're going to pretend that we're skidding. And we're going to get back off of the ABS, back to what's called threshold braking, and your coaches will talk about that. All ABS does is pump one wheel at a time. Okay, it releases one wheel while the other three are on, puts it back on, releases another wheel while the other three are on, puts it back on. But now think about this. Will that stop me quicker or will that take longer? Back to physics. It's going to take longer. Compared to just locking up and sliding down the road, it doesn't take longer. It's much, much better. Much, 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 much better. Does everybody kind of get that? So we're going to teach you some techniques relative to braking, but I wanted you to understand a little bit about physics and how that works. We are going to also teach you a steering technique. And I'm going to ask the coaches that are at your tables to slide some frisbee rings around to you so that you guys can all, you're going to have to rotate these around and share a little bit. As we do this, I'm going to ask you to put your hands on opposite sides of the wheel as if they were at the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock position on a clock. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? It's interestingly, with 15-year-olds, I have them, a lot of them that have only seen digital clocks, and they're absolutely confused. So at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, you just hold your hands up in the air if you don't have one of these yet. Or let's make sure that we get one of these tables so they can pass it around a little bit. So put your hands up in the air as if you're at 9 and 3.
Let everybody know that we're here. Channel 9 and Denver Post.
Yes.
Unless you
we knew.
No.
Okay. We never know already.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Make up. So, as we're at 9 and 3, just imagine, put your hands up in the air and imagine that you're holding onto a clock at that 9 and 3 position. Right? You don't have to have one of these wheels. Just put your hands out there. Now, some people will say that you can put your hands at 10 and 2, and that's kind of okay. 9 and 3 is just better, so we're going to use 9 and 3 today. With your hands at that position, if you were to rotate that clock face a quarter turn one way or the other, or half turn one way or the other, you could do that without changing your hand position. You could leave your hands in contact with the wheel. Does everybody get that?
Yeah.
That's how we're going to make most of our turns. That's called an arm lock turn. Because if you turn a full half revolutions, your arms would run into each other and you would turn kind of lock up the steering and not be able to turn anymore. It could be a bad day. Okay, so here's the other thing that we're going to do with that. Mm-hmm. Imagine that your hand is 9 and 3. Teresa, could you get up and kind of walk around with one of these? We're going to pass around a real steering wheel that we took off of Teresa's arm.
Yeah, turn it as far as you can go to the right. Right now, back to the left. There we go. Hold it. That's a little bit straighter.
You can kind of feel this, especially those that you've never driven before. If you guys could raise your hand so these two could be sure to get to you. Alona, Teresa, could you look at who has their hands up? Make sure we get to them with the steering wheel. Okay, put your hands down. So here's what we do with the steering, guys. At the 9 and 3 position, if we have to make a sharper turn, we're going to tell you to use hand-to-hand feet. We are not going to have you doing the wax on, wax off from the Karate Kid movie. I love the movie too. Most of the kids we train have never seen it, but it's totally out of touch here. It's actually a pretty old movie. So at the 9 and 3 position, if we're going to do hand-to-hand feet, what we're going to do is, if we're going to go to the right, we're going to grip with our left hand, release a little bit with our right, We're going to bring our left hand toward the top of the clock and slide our right hand up to meet it.
Slide your right hand up to meet it.
When we bump our hands together, we're going to grip the wheel with the right hand, release with the left, continue the rotation, pulling our right hand down and our left hand back down to grip the wheel now upside down at 9 and 3.
Oh, so you can. Okay.
When you're actually in a car, it's easy. When you're trying to explain it, it's not.
Push with your left hand and slide your right hand up and meet it at 12 o'clock.
So everybody just remember this little mantra. Ready? Okay. Hands together, hands apart. Hands together, hands apart. So I'm going to show you a different way. I'm going to give you a different way to think about this. Okay, break from what you're doing right now for just a second, guys.
Like this.
Good. Teresa,
push.
Break for just a second from what you're doing.
Slide your hand up.
Put something in your right hand.
There we go.
Thanks. Just in your right hand. Let go of it with your left. Just put something in your right hand.
Let go of the left.
Remember to do that?
Hold it with your right.
Put it in your left hand.
Put it in your left hand.
So you let go with your right. So everybody has something in your left hand. Put it back in your right.
There you go.
Okay, put it back in your left.
There you go.
Okay, now I want you to move your hands across your body as you do this. So it's in your left hand. Put it back in your right hand. Now bring your hands apart. Put it back in your left. Bring your hands apart. Put it back in your right. Bring your hands apart. Put it back in your left and bring your hands apart. Now do that towards the top of your head when you make the exchange. So put it in your right, bring your hands apart and back down to the bottom. Put it in your left, bring your hands apart and down to the bottom. That is the steering move that you'll make on the steering wheel. Does everybody have that? What we're going to do right now is we're going to get you guys out there in the car. Let me talk to you about safety in the car.
Is this our drink and drive?
What's your name? What's your name, Doug?
Drew.
Drew?
Yeah.
I'm Jerry. I'm going to work with you, too.
Okay, here we go. You guys ready?
So.
We'll move out there to the range. We're all going to walk out together so we can get to where the cars are. We are going to work together as a group. We're going to do an exercise explanation. Then we will walk you through the range. We'll walk you through the entire exercise so you know exactly where to go. Then we're going to get you in the back, two of you in the back seat of the car, one of you in the front passenger seat, and our coach is going to drive you through the first time. Then our coach is going to trade places with the person in the front seat, and that person is going to drive through. The coach will remain in the front right seat the entire time. The coach can get access to the steering wheel if they need to then. The coach has a brake if they need it, just in case, okay? We really are going to interrupt, interject, intercede your driving as little as possible. We want you to be driving the cars. Coaches will use direction to help you with the layout of the course, with where you need to go, with how fast you need to go. And I'm going to encourage you this. We're not going to do 90 miles an hour airborne, but if we're going too slow, you won't have any fuel for the car. It'll just be sitting there. So we need to be moving so that you can feel the effect of your steering in the car. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay? The key to great driving is smoothness. Those of you who have ridden in, you know what I mean. Ridden with other people that are not, you know exactly what I mean. Okay, the key to great driving is smoothness and precision. So that's our goal for the day, smoothness and precision. You're smooth and you're precise, you will be able to go faster. If you try to go faster, you won't be smooth and precise, and you won't be able to go faster. So the way to getting to go faster is to be smooth and precise. Everybody follow that? Then after you, the first person's driven a little bit, we're going to swap places and put somebody else in the driver's seat. And you get in the back seat and continue to have this experience. Everybody understand that?
Yep.
Great. If we have more people than we have seats in the cars that are active at the same time, we'll rotate you guys into the car as soon as we possibly can. if that's the case, we're going to ask you to stand in a very specific place and stay there. Keep in mind that you have other people driving around who can't see you.
Straight ahead, Drew. Straight ahead. And your handle is to the right. There you go. And then, Katie, I've got your purse right there for you. And Kate, I'm going to let you reach to shut the door. You know what, Drew? We probably should have moved. There you go.
Yeah, sorry.
It's my first time at the rodeo. Awesome.
Short knees.
Yeah, it works out that you're smaller and he's going to be having to sit back.
Katie, are you okay? Is that enough
legroom? She's got tons of room.
Okay. Fine.
Patty, do you feel like you're in a good position?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so, yep, your left foot is in it. Right there is perfect.
Okay.
Okay, right there is the gas pedal.
Yes,
your right foot's
brake.
On the gas pedal. That's on the brake.
Yep.
Now, see, I didn't get a chance. Let this loud truck go by. I didn't get a chance to hear when Kevin went back over to get you guys. So you've had a little bit of experience with this?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
I've had none. I don't know if she meant now or before.
When they asked, yeah.
Well, she didn't specify, so it's not my
fault. What we're going to do is, have you, that looks like a pretty good adjustment to me. Does steering wheel feel like it's in a comfortable place because we can move it up?
I would raise it a little bit if
Alrighty.
I can.
Alrighty, yeah. And you just put it where you want it. I think that's as high as it goes,
actually.
Okay,
well then we'll do it like that.
Okay.
It's right on.
And then I'm going to let you shut the door. When you're ready, you don't have to belt and shut the door at the same time. There we go.
Pretty nice. Ready for a pretty nice ride, KT?
It's cool.
Okay. Alrighty. So, we know where the brake and the gas is, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, pressure, before we even start the car, I'm just going to have you practice that. Yep.
Sure.
And then moving your foot over to the gas. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so yep, foot on the brake. And then, yep, you're going to turn the key to start the car. Awesome.
Okay, start the car.
I know, I'm sorry. Maybe when we go over to skid pad, we'll have to make sure it reminds me, okay? Okay,
so now, foot
on the brake.
Is it cool if I, real quick, feel off the gas pedal to see how
it's... Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I want you to, until you're comfortable.
That's pretty nice. Right.
I know, it's a good noise, isn't it?
It is.
Let's practice it again. When we're out there, you want to be nice and smooth and gentle, just like that.
I'm so revving it next time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so our parking brake. Let's go ahead and do that. Yep. Definitely.
You pull it up.
And now, since the button's in, push it down.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, so before we go anywhere, though, let's practice the steering.
Let's do that.
Okay, so keeping your hands, actually move his hand back up.
Yeah, thanks.
The 9 and 3. You're welcome.
Okay, well.
Arm locks are these.
Yep.
And she wound up having to do some pretty big ones. Some cars are different. Some we have to do less. Beautiful.
So this is straight, like right?
Yep.
Like this? Okay, cool.
Now, the hand feet. If you're going to steer towards me, this hand steers, this relaxes a little bit, grabs it, this hand brings it back towards us, this hand pushes it, this hand pulls it. Now going the other way, this hand pushes it, that hand pulls it. Yeah, so you're really kind of shuffling the wheel. Does that make sense?
Now is this straight again or?
Yep, it
sure
is.
Cool.
You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, Drew, let's rock.
Let's do this.
Yep, pushing the button, 3 clicks back.
Is that 3? Is that?
Yep, okay. You are in drive. So now ease off the brake. We're gonna go pull forward and then you're gonna steer towards me when I tell you. The brakes are noisy. Okay, so you're going to steer towards me hand-to-hand feet, so quite a bit. There you go. A little bit more. Actually, quite a bit more. Good, good. Excellent, keep going. Now you're gonna straighten out and hit straight forward. Beautiful.
Is that straight?
That is straight.
Okay.
So steer arm lock towards me just a little bit. There we go. You got this. Okay, and stop the car and straight wheel. Wonderful. So, do you feel like your knee's in the way?
No.
Okay, good. So, you're going to do nice big arm locks.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Yep.
So, we are in our start box. Let's go ahead and ease off the brake. This first time, we'll take it a little bit slow. Yeah.
Please, that'd be great. Arm lock now?
Arm lock towards me, yep. Okay, now slowly start to straighten out and arm lock away from me. Good. Come towards me a tiny bit. There we go. Now away from me. Hold there for just a second. And now towards me. Nice and easy. Nice and easy. Towards me. Towards me. I know. And just kind of hold it there. Hold it towards me. Excellent. And then away from me. Good. We're going to just run one cut over. But that's all right. Okay. Towards me a little bit. Let's just go nice and straight. Nice and straight. And then... Good, good, good. Now arm lock towards me.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Wonderful. So nice and slow with your steering. Start to arm lock away from me. Excellent. All the way over. Perfect. Just kind of hold it there. Because the car is going slow, our steering has to be kind of slow. Now arm lock towards me. Good. Good, good, good. And now what we're going to do is stop and then go back to straight. Now we're going to get ready to make our U-turn.
Okay.
So ease off the brake, and then you're going to need to steer a lot towards me when I tell you.
I'm going to do the hand-in-hand, right?
Yep. Hand-to-hand feed.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, keep it right there. The steering right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Now steer away from me. Good.
Then I just, am I going in the grass?
No, you're right in the middle of the road. So actually, arm lock towards me, and we'll wind up being straight in our spot here. Good. Now straight. Now back to straight, and now be ready to hand-to-hand feed when I tell you.
Is it straight?
And ease off the brake. Yep, we're straight.
Hand-to-hand feed.
When I tell you.
Left or right?
Oh, we're going to towards me. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, so you're going to hand-to-hand feed towards me now. That's it. That's it. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, now you're going to start to steer away from me kind of slowly. And hold the wheel right there. Ease off the brake. Towards me a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. There we go. Now, stop. Now, we're on our second side.
Okay.
So steer away from me to get to straight steering. And we're going to go back to our arm locks.
Like this is
yep.
Straight steering?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so arm lock towards me. And now let's go ahead and just kind of stay off the brake. Just let the car roll.
Yep.
Okay, keep it where it's at. Keep it where it's at. All right, now arm lock away from me. Beautiful. Beautiful. Keep where it's at. Keep where it's at. Keep where it's at. Now arm lock towards me. Gorgeous. Just keep it where it's at. Come off the brake a little bit.
Yep, I'm off
the
brake.
You are? Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead and get it tight. Away from me now. Arm lock away from me. Away from me. There we go. We just went off the grass a little bit. That was totally my fault. Totally my fault. So hold it, hold it, hold it. You're good. You're good to go. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Okay, now arm lock towards me. All the way towards me. All the way towards me. See, you got us back to the cone. Good, good, good. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Now wait for me. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Wonderful. We're almost to the stop box. Arm lock towards me. That's it. That's it. Now go back to straight steering and stop the car. Yay, Drew! That was awesome. It's totally awesome. Okay, so now what we're gonna do is ease off the brake. You're gonna steer towards me just a little bit. So arm lock towards me a tiny bit.
Go, Drew.
As we leave. Good. Good. And back to straight steering. Wonderful. And then you're gonna prepare to steer a lot. So hand to hand feet towards me. Good. Now keep it right there, but let the car roll forward. I have to tell you guys something that's a little bit different for me.
Yeah.
How am I doing?
You're doing awesome. Okay. Let's go ahead and steer away from me a little bit. Good. And just leave it right there for now. And ease off the brake. Leave the steering where it's at.
Okay.
I'm just trying to straighten us in our
lane.
Sure.
Yeah.
And steer towards me just a little. Beautiful, beautiful. Back to straight.
I need to get a belt.
And brake. You are perfect in our lane, in our spot.
Cool.
Right on. Okay.
We're watching you.
Pretty nice.
Right. Okay. Now, good. You stay where you are, Katie. You keep going. You keep going, Andrew. You go to the right. She left the door open.
Thank you, Katie.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah.
They're regular pros now. Okay. Yep.
Brakes
for you. I know, Katie.
That'd be awesome.
It would be pretty nice.
Yeah, alright,
Drew. Okay. You comfortable where you're at?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and start there. and we already know. Actually, we've got to wait for two cars to go before it's our turn. We're getting the hang of this pretty good. We've gotten quick at it. So Sanjay, you've got really good directional awareness. I've already seen that on the slalom. So what's going to happen is, as we approach it, when I say let off the gas, I want that foot to come off quick and onto the floor. So Let's practice that. Let off. Good. Awesome. Okay, then what? I'm going to bump the car into neutral. I'm going to pull the brake and gently turn the wheel. Just let me do that, and then you try to steer it back to where you feel straight is.
I would think like that. I mean...
Yeah, well, you'll need to steer.
Okay.
Knowing where the wheel is isn't necessarily going to be as helpful as feeling the car.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, we still have one more car to wait for. Katie, that was really nice. Good job.
That was fun.
Okay.
I always forget to do that.
No, not yet. I'm just a backseat driver.
For now.
Good. How's your...
I have to get all of it done, you know.
Sure.
I have to do the turn signals, the horn, and the... Yeah!
Good God.
I know, I got a crazy guy over here.
Hey, quiet.
Okay, so what we're going to do is... almost there.
Right.
Okay, now we can go ahead and creep hard. You're away from me a lot when I tell you. Kind of straight forward. Gorgeous! Oh my gosh, you guys are so good. Okay, so actually, let's turn. What you did is turn the steering wheel upside down. There you go. There you go. Okay, now they're still on the skid pads.
Yeah. Who was that?
Okay, so arm lock all the way away from me. Good. Good. Arm lock towards me. Good, straighten out. Towards me a little bit more. Straighten out, perfect. Give it a little bit of gas. Good, let off the gas. Okay, steer towards where you think straight is.
There it is.
Sorry.
It's not your fault.
Okay, go ahead and ease off the brake, and we're just going to keep the wheel. Oh, I'm trying to get us out of the sprinkler. Okay. All right, now go ahead, stop the car. Good. Now, you know what was really cool about that, guys, is that you totally got, even though the car really went around quickly, and you went back towards straight as quick as you could. That was awesome.
Heck yes.
Okay, so let's go ahead and creep forward, and then you're just here away from me a lot. Away from me a lot. There you go. Straighten out. Got away from me a little bit more. Now straighten out. Good. Give it some gas. Towards me a tiny bit. Away from me. Straighten out. Good. And brake. Awesome.
Okay. Wow.
That was ABS. Did you feel that?
I felt it. That's why I did that. I had to, feel that.
Okay, so we're going to creep forward. Okay, we're heading towards the other cars now, so we have to keep this going.
I will calm down.
Okay. And away from more. More. Good. Straighten out. Awesome. And brake. Perfect. We are right in our lane. Car in park. Brake on.
Thank you.
That was awesome, you guys.